All right. How about taking your Bible tonight? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Always good to be here at my home, away from home. Amen. Somebody said, where do you go to church? When you go to Kentucky, we come to Grace Baptist Church. Amen. I appreciate Brother Richardson. Appreciate the church tonight. I want to look at some verses of Scripture tonight, real familiar with you. And I've been praying for you, Pastor. I pray for him daily, by the way. I want you to know that. I've got a preacher's prayer list. I pray for a lot of preachers. Some of them need a lot of preaching done to them, but I pray for them anyway. Got a lot of people on there, and I just try to pray for them tonight. But I want to look at something tonight. I hope be a blessing to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 17, and I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? But when I think about that, over in 2 Timothy, the Bible says that Jannes and Jambres, you say, who were these two? They were the two magicians that withstood Moses. The Bible said that they were ever learning. Don't we live in days of knowledge? And by the way, men are smart. You go back to the book of Genesis, the Bible said they would have built a tower to heaven if God had not confused those languages. But they're ever learning, always learning something. But then he said, and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. With their knowledge, there is a resisting of what I call real truth. You've got truth and you've got pseudo-truth or false truth. We live in days when man thinks he's a lot smarter than God is. Let me tell you something. You don't outthink God. Now notice what he said. God hath made foolish the wisdom of this world. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks wisdom, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I want you to notice the phrase over and over, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many are mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it hath is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I want to deal tonight for a few minutes with a subject, the wisdom of God. You say, well, I know God's wise. How many know God's wise? But sometimes we act like God's not wise. Sometime, you know, we've learned all the language, and I believe everybody here is a Bible believer, but sometimes it's a little easy not to believe the Bible. And that's what I'm going to look at a few minutes tonight. The wisdom of God. The Bible talks about the world. They're ever learning. And it seems like the smarter they get, the more ignorant this crowd gets. Listen, if you look around here, and I may deal with it in a few minutes, the Bible said the heavens declare, they shout. They declare the glory of God in the firmament His handiwork. Now, if you can look around tonight and not see God, the Bible says you're a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You say, why do they not believe in a God? Because they don't want a God. If there's a God, then he has to be the ruler. If the Word of God is inerrant, infallible, we believe that it is. We believe it's the very Word of God. Then it becomes authoritative. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, people don't like authority. They don't want that. I thought about the word wisdom. Years ago, I made up my own definition of what wisdom is. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. I'll give you a verse. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin, right? But unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it, it's wisdom. A lot of people go to college. They get a degree. They put a paper on the wall. But they never learn how to use that education in such a way as to make a living by it. You see, they were looking for a grade. They were looking for a piece of paper. They were looking for a BA or a BS or whatever out behind that name. But they didn't get a real education. They got a lot of facts, but they never learned how to use those facts. That's why in the day we live, hey, you go over to the book of 2 Peter, he said, know you this also, they were, in the years gone by, there were false prophets, but today they're false teachers. Teachers inform your intellect, but preaching demands a decision to be made. Teaching doesn't do that. So we find wisdom. One of the attributes of God, and he's got many, is a word we use, omniscience. The word omni means all, and niscience means science, all right? It simply means all-knowing. We believe tonight that God knows everything. Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? The Bible said God knows the end from the beginning. God's in the beginning looking forward, and God's in the end of this thing looking back, and you and I are in the middle. And God's trying to teach you and I something, to trust the wisdom of God. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're taught to trust the Word of God. But so many times in our life, we believe the Word of God. We believe God knows what he's doing, and yet we don't trust what God does. You say, well, why? Preacher, you ever been that way? Oh, but let me tell you something. God has had to send me to the school of hard knocks, and I'm not sure I've gotten a good education yet. I'm a pastor. Do I ever doubt what God's doing? Listen, have you ever questioned God? If you've got any age on you, you have. Let me teach you something about prayer, and I know your pastor probably teaches it. You talk to God respectfully, but you be honest with God. When I've got things on my heart I don't understand, I don't look up and say, oh God, thou art great. Thou, even though he is, listen, I tell God what's on my mind. Why? Because God knows what's on my heart. Now, there's no sense me fencing with God. And I'm not talking about being disrespectful. You go through the book of Psalms and see how many times that these guys said, Lord, what in the world are you doing? How long, dear God, are you going to let the wicked prosper? One of the prophets actually indicted God. He said, how long will you deal unjustly? Now, I've never come to that point. I'd be scared to death to indict God. But, you know, we have questions in this life. We're human. We fail God. We've got weaknesses. I'm just simply a man. I put my britches on one leg at a time, just like you put yours on. I get up in the morning, and I'm as much flesh as you are flesh. Sometimes we fail to trust something that God's got. What's he got? He's got the great wisdom. He said over in the book of Isaiah, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, we find that God tonight has wisdom. Listen, he's got the wisdom that's pinned down in the Bible. This is a book of wisdom. The most glorious thing that God gave us outside of the Holy Spirit of God is the Word of God. He's given us everything. You go over again to 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible said that He hath given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, He's given you everything you need to live for God down here. That's the wisdom of God. And yet so many times we'll doubt God. But He pinned down a blessed Bible. Now, if you've got this old King James Bible, people say, why do you pound? Listen, I don't have to defend this, but I will hold it up and let you know that this is the very Word of God, verbally, plenarily inspired. This is the Word of God. And we've got, listen, such a wonderful Bible. You know, men could have never written this. There's no way. The wisdom of this Bible. Did you know in the book of Genesis that these people thousands of years ago knew that the woman had a seed? The woman's seed's invisible. They didn't find it until they had microscopes. They had absolutely no concept, and yet the Word of God talked about the seed of the woman, that Christ would be born of the seed of the woman. You know, the book of Leviticus said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Do you know what happened to George Washington? They bled him to death. They thought the more blood they took out, the more your blood pressure would drop and everything, and they just took out a little bit more than he could stand. You know, Job talked about springs in the bottom of the sea where man could not have gone without submarines and scuba equipment and everything else. You know, the Bible said the earth was round when they thought it was flat. The Bible said it was hung on nothing when they thought Atlas held it up. All through the Bible, the east and the west you cannot find. Listen, the wisdom of God. We find the wisdom of God previewed in creation. Today they go back to evolutionists. He said, we all came from animals. That's why people act like animals. You know, they have removed the sanctity of life. And I don't want to get politics. This anti-gun crowd out here has no problem with butchering a 9-month-old baby in the womb and selling its body parts. And yet they want to get up and holler, gun, gun, gun. Hey, we don't want a gun. They protect their house with guns, but they let the school children go unprotected. You say, why? There's no sanctity of life. Listen, if there's no God, you have no purpose. It's God that gives us purpose. We look in creation. God said you have animal life, you have fish, you have birds, and you have flesh. Four types of life, and yet the Bible says they all came from the same. The Bible said that everything produces after its kind, but they still don't believe that. There's no intermediate species. When's the last time you watched a bird and a cat date? If evolution, hey, I'm just telling you that God in His wisdom made this thing right. When He flung those stars from His fingertips, my friend, and set everything in motion, it's like the greatest Swiss clock that has ever been. And if anything missed one tick, if this earth got 1/1,000,000th of 1 degree out of its orbit, it would destroy all life on this planet. Boy, what a blessed thing. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. We find the wisdom of God personified in Jesus Christ. He talked about the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way before His works of old. And He talked about the wisdom of God. Listen, Christ did not have wisdom. He was. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. The very wisdom. That's why the Bible said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, the same with in the beginning with God. Why? You can't divorce Jesus from this. You change the Word of God. You say, what about other versions? You change the Word of God. You have changed Jesus Christ. That's why over in, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 4, it talks about another Jesus which we've not preached unto you. They got this little buddy Jesus out here today that hops and dances with them and operates outside of the realm of God. And they say, the Holy Ghost made me did it. Let me tell you, the Bible said the Scripture cannot be broken. You can't break this When you defy this, you defy God. We find the wisdom of God performed in salvation. You talk about great. Hey, God saved you and I by the grace of God. Aren't you glad He did that? You know why? God knew you weren't good enough to go to heaven. That's why you have eternal life. A lot of people don't like eternal life. Let me tell you something. There's never been a day I've been fit for the kingdom of God outside of the righteousness of Christ. That, I guess they're more spiritual than I am. They live better than I am. You say, preacher, what are you? I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. The almighty grace. And I thank God for salvation, but I thank God even more for eternal life, that God has sealed me with the Holy Ghost of God until the day of redemption. Listen, I'm going home. You talking about wisdom. God knew you couldn't keep it. That's why He gave you personal justification. What is that? Imputed righteousness. When God sees me tonight, He sees the blood of His Son. He sees the righteousness of God. Isn't that a blessing tonight? You say, preacher, are you perfect? According to 1 John chapter 4, there's a part of me that is. The Bible said the child of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. You say, why? I believe there's a part of you and I tonight that the Holy Spirit of God has sealed until the day of redemption. That's why Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, he said, that's the things I do. He said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Why? Because sin is in our flesh. You're talking about justification and wisdom, and then the wisdom of God perfected in eternity. Isn't that a blessing? One of these days, we're going home, Brother Richard. I do not fear death. I've often told my people I want to stay as long as God let me preach, and I want to go the very second He releases me. I had an old saying of God died 2 weeks ago and we buried Him. You're talking about dying with just joy and peace of God in His heart. You know, God's people die well. I said, you ready to go? He said, I'm ready. I said, everything all right? He said, everything's all right. He said, I'm ready to go. Boy, what a blessing tonight. Now, what I want to do is call your attention to two things tonight. And then we're going to go home. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6. These are verses of Scripture that are so familiar to you and I. You say, why? Because we know God is completely wise, and yet sometimes we don't trust His wisdom. You can quote these verses of Scripture. I can quote them, but how many times have we doubted what God said? You say, well, preacher, I thought you were spiritual. Chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in all these things. What's he talking about? He's talking about take no thought in verse 31. What we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. How many here have ever worried about your bills? Huh? Now, if you're not tithing, you better get worried. Amen? You say, why? Because God cursed you. But I'm talking about the God's people, tithe their income, give to missions. Amen? You say, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you, you can't afford not to if you're His. I believe God will bless a lost man for tithing. He said, I don't believe that. He blesses lost men if he does right in some areas. You know why? Because God honors some things. Amen? He's talking about, have you ever worried about what are we going to do if the stock market falls? I lose all my stock. You say, preacher, how much stock you got? You know how much stock I got. Amen? Huh? I got tickled last night. Barbara said, are we going to put the interest we have accrued on our taxes this year? Dollar and what? A dollar and a few cents. You know what? I forgot to put them on there. Now, if they want to audit me over $1.75, Hey, I'll get a dozen Dunkin' Donuts and a pot of coffee, and I'll let them come down and order me all they want to over that. You say, why? Because I don't have a lot in this world. Now, we're not poor. We've got a nice home. We've got an automobile. It's nice that we drive. Got good clothes. I'm so fat, I can hardly wiggle. But have you ever doubted that God was going to take care of you? I think everybody here at times has had a doubt in that area. Some of you didn't go through hard times. I've never been through real hard times. You know, the only time I've ever been hungry in my life is when I chose to be hungry. Some of you older people may have been hungry at times. Some of you went through the depression era. Did you go through it, brother? You was born a little after, kind of, huh? You was born in 29. All right, it was all over and prosperous then, amen. Hey, I think most of the ones that were born in that time, let me tell you something. I believe everybody here, somewhere and somewhere future, you're going to have some doubts about what God's doing. How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? My Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What did He say? You let God be first and I'll add everything that the Gentiles seek after unto you. You say, what's that mean? That means every shirt you need, man, has already been ordered for the rest of your life. You may not get everything you want to eat, but you'll eat for the rest of your life. You see, He even said that even your roof over your head is just simply a blessing of God, because the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And the Bible said in another place that the servant is not greater than his master. If he could sleep with his head on a stone, we can sleep with our head on a stone. Listen, God's been so good to us. And yet sometime, if we're not careful, these temporal things, these things that are not even eternal, will cause us to doubt. And we'll see bills coming. Hey, just today, we got a financial blessing from God just today, just out of the blue. Somebody stuck a lot of money in my pocket. Just tucked it in. You say, what'd you do? I tucked it in deep. Had my cell phone in. I didn't want to pull a cell phone out and somebody find an envelope laying on the ground. Somebody said, oh, manna from heaven. Hey, maybe he needed it worse than I did. You see, we believe in the wisdom of God, that God knows the end from the beginning, and God's given us all things pertaining unto life. That's what you need. And godliness, that's how you act. You say, well, I can't quit a certain sin. You can quit anything that God tells you to quit. He's already given you all things pertaining unto life and godliness. You see, sometimes we doubt God. I want to go to the Proverbs. We're going to go to the other one. I'm going to turn you loose pretty quick tonight. I told Barbara I'm preaching something I've never preached before. Amen. I like to do that when I've got my wife with me. You say, why? Because I preach to my wife also. She doesn't need to hear some warmed up something all the time. I often tell these missionaries, you know, they preach about every service they go, and some of them preach sometimes the same messages over and over, and they starve their children, and they starve their families on the pew because they know every word. They've already memorized them. Over in Proverbs 3, every one of you can quote this. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, that's the easy part. Isn't that easy? How many have memorized that verse? Huh? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But that next point, hey, we've memorized, but we haven't learned it. And lean not unto thine own understanding. What's that mean? That means you're trusting God, but you don't understand what He's doing. Sometime God's going to leave you. Hey, He'll lead you through some valleys. Dr. Harold Seitler used to say years ago that God has never greatly used a man until He has allowed that man to be greatly hurt. I'm talking about God is God in circumstances. He said, when you don't understand, that doesn't mean God's not on the other side of it. Doesn't mean God doesn't care. Boy, you go to Job chapter number 23. Job, he sat down to dust, said he didn't say anything bad. He trusted the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he started cursing the day he was born. You get to Job chapter 23, and I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, I looked before me, and I couldn't find him. I looked behind me. He wasn't there. I looked to the right. I looked to the left. I couldn't find him. He said, if I could, he said, I was going to order my complaint. Have you ever had a complaint? Dear God in heaven, why? Why in the world did we try to do right and we've taken a whipping and somebody else over here lived a lackadaisical life and seems like they have done better than we have done? And you start comparing yourself with somebody else in their circumstances. Sometimes you look across the street at an unsaved neighbor. He gets as much rain as you get, and sometimes he gets seemingly more blessing than you get. You see, our blessings are not always the temporal things. But he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That means you don't always know what's going on. Let me quote you a verse of Scripture. The Bible said over, Amos 3, chapter number 3? Let me just try to quote it for you. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let me break that verse down. Call unto me. What's that talking about? That's asking God for what you want. And he said, I will answer thee. But here's what he said. I'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't think about. You see, God doesn't even answer our prayers the way we ask them. He answers them in his wisdom. You ever had God do something unusual? You were worried about something. You prayed about something. And boy, you had it all planned how God was going to get it done. Isn't that a blessing? When they diagnosed me with cancer, I told our people at the church, I said, you know, we spend our days telling God we want God's will for our life. And then we spend our life telling God what His will needs to be. You say, what's His will? In my life, it was to have cancer. And I'm cancer-free, and I thank God for that. But let me tell you, God knows what He's doing in your life, and though you may not understand, you see, in the wisdom of God, we understand something. God knows everything. He's omniscient. He loves His kids. You love your kids. I don't believe we even can comprehend what love is until we actually one day know the love of Christ. How for God so loved the world, you think of what you were and what I am, that God sent His Son to die on Calvary in open shame, and He died for my sin that day. And if I had been the only man who had ever lived, Christ would have died in my place. He would have died for me. That's how personal salvation is. This is not a group thing going on. Listen, we're not with that crowd that believes God elects some to heaven and some to hell. What kind of a God? We had two sons. And me as a father said, I'm going to choose one. I'm going to love him, bestow all my goods upon him. He didn't ask to be brought in this world, but I'm giving him everything I've got. But here's my other son. I hate him. He's mine. I brought him into this world. I chose to bring him into here, and I hate him. I'll give him nothing. I'll cast him out, and I don't care if he goes to hell. Now, when I say that, it makes your skin crawl. That's what they say about God. Let me tell you, they don't even know the God that I love. That God that loves us with a love that's beyond our comprehension. That God, listen, sometimes God lets you go through some things. Why? Because He brings you out on the other side. We've been through some things in our life, and I'm not going to go into them. Places where a pastor and his wife should have never had to tread. And we still tread in them. But I want to tell you what. God has brought some wonderful things out of something that's bad. God's done some things. Listen, I'm talking about the wisdom of God tonight. God loves you. He loves me. He loves us with a love that we cannot fathom tonight. Don't you worry about what you're going to eat or how you're going to pay your bills. Don't you worry about that tonight. You just serve God and let God do it. I'll give you a little short illustration. When I was in Bible college, I ran a tire shop. I ran it all by myself. I put on automobile tires. And a man came in. I knew he was a Jehovah's Witness. I had him by myself for about 30 or 40 minutes, and he followed me around, watching me put the tires on, mount them and balance them and put them on, jack the cars up. I witnessed to him for about 35 minutes. I told him, you're going to die and go to hell you don't even believe in. And I wasn't out of the way with him, but boy, with compassion and boldness, I just told him the truth of the Word of God. And when I got done, we went up and I filled out his bill and he wrote a check for his bill and turned around and walked off. He got about, 20 feet away from me and he turned around and he said, "By the way, I've got something for you." Now that may not sound like much, but my wife and I had given every dime, every penny in our house to a man whose brother-in-law had died. He was a Bible college student. We loaned him our car. And we sent him off, and we didn't have one penny. We got a handful of change along with some more money that we had and gave him everything we had. And my wife and I got down. We said, "What do we need to get us through to payday?" Now, this is good when you get down. And we added it up, and we said, if we've got $7, we can make it until payday. $7. You ever been that poor? A Jehovah's Witness turned around and said, "By the way, I've got something for you," and walked up there and laid down a $5 and $2 $1 bills on that table. Now, I'm trying to help you with something. Barbara nodding her head. He met our needs. Hey, you talking about great and mighty things which thou knowest not? And he took a track. Usually they won't take a track. Don't you worry about your finances. I don't know what's going on in this economy, but I want to tell you one thing. If that stock market ever falls right, you let it fall 12,000, 15,000 points, and you watch them sell it out, it'll shut down every factory in this nation in less than 30 days. Every truck will stop. There's only 45 days worth of food in America in stock. You say, "Who's going to feed me?" God. I believe there's one piece of light bread in Lawrence County, South Carolina. Me and my wife be eating on the corner of it. And then sometime God may test you in a different way. He may allow something to happen to you that should have never happened. It wasn't your fault. And you got hammered with that thing. And you're going to have to trust God with it. Because bad things do happen to good people. They do. When life's hard and you know it, then you can make it. As long as you think it's going to be a rose garden out here, then you, hey, we tell people, if you can't stand pain, listen, you die early. Amen. The wisdom of God tonight, something we know about, but something we often do not trust. Because we're flesh. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Amen. God bless you. Just want to be a blessing to you tonight. Brother, you come.